This is the moment we have all been waiting for. We have finally found a crypto project that is about to see true mass adoption.
In today's episode, we are interviewing the founder of what is inevitably going to be the next big thing.
Welcome to the Bean Pod. This is your place for all things stocks and crypto. From beginner tips to expert picks, use this as fuel for your investing journey, because when you're in the know, your money will grow.
This episode of the Bean Pod is sponsored by BitGet.
BitGet is the most user-friendly and secure crypto trading platform for both beginners and experienced traders.
BitGet is the best place to not only trade Bitcoin and Ethereum, but also all the small cap gems that we discuss every day.
With 24/7 customer support, leveraged trading, and a wide array of other advanced features, BitGet sets itself apart from every other centralized exchange.
Through Beanstalk's official partnership with BitGet, you'll receive 15% off all trading fees when you sign up using the referral link in the description.
All views expressed by speakers on the Bean Pod are solely their opinions. You should not treat any opinion expressed on the Bean Pod as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow a specific strategy, but only as an expression of their opinion. This podcast is for informational purposes only.
Welcome to the Bean Pod. This is Shane, aka the Jolly Green Investor.
And this is Josh, the Nifty Investor.
Today, we are talking about a crypto project, one of the only ones we've ever seen that is about to see true mass adoption.
In today's episode, we have a very special guest, Frank Ramos, and he's the founder of Workloop, a project that is undoubtedly going to be the next big thing. Frank, welcome to the show.
Welcome, guys. Welcome.
Lovely. Let's jump right into it. First of all, congratulations on such a successful launch. Maybe you can let us know right off the hop, what exactly is Workloop and why is it such a game changer?
Yeah, so just really high level, Workloop is AI to manage all the tabs that you work on in Chrome in one place. So whether it's Gmail, whether it's Telegram, whether it's any other app you use, it helps you manage them all in one place.
Yeah, I like it. It's a very easy pitch for us because we know everyone is already using all of these apps on their computers every day. And to see one single piece of AI software that you can speak to in plain English, kind of do everything for you, it's a very easy pitch for us. Now, before we move into more details about exactly what Workloop does, we want to ask about your background. Can you tell us about your experience at Disney, Fox Sports, and other companies you used to work at?
Yeah, for sure. And to be clear, I never actually worked at those companies. I was like the hired assassin in all these places, right? So I have a specialty in video streaming apps. So I helped create the infrastructure for Disney Plus. Worked with the folks at Fox Sports, also worked on Sonos music app. So it goes all across streaming, music, AI, all that stuff was really early days. And that's really kind of where I got everything started.
What is it about like video streaming apps? Like, why is your specialty in like those kind of things? Did you come from that kind of background, or why are you the hired assassin for that specific stuff?
Yeah, so nobody knows anything about video streaming, right? It's like the dark arts. So I actually specialize in, because those are the kind of jobs that were available. So I actually worked in finance before. And I actually was lucky enough to be in the same building as the largest talent management agency in the world in Los Angeles. And they approached me and said, "Hey, Frank, there's this new thing called the iPhone. It just came out." And they said, "Hey, we have studio clients that are interested in apps. Do you know anybody who can help us make these apps?" And I said, "Well, literally nobody knows how to make these apps. It's all brand new." So it became, let's go figure this out. And that's how everything started.
Wow. So you are an OG iPhone app creator. And, you know, I mean, that is so impressive, especially maybe you could expand a little bit on that background you have in finance as well. Weren't you helping to manage multi-billion dollar funds?
Yeah, for sure. So I was working with institutional investors and it was more on the pension fund side, you know, boring, sleepy little consulting type of thing. Just helping big companies like my biggest client was FedEx. Everyone from the CEO to the folks that help with sanitation, everyone in between, help them with their retirement funds. So sleepy stuff like 401k and all that stuff. However, it sounds sleepy, but it was literally billions of dollars. And so, you know, it's like crazy Excel spreadsheets, crazy programming that went into like managing those massive, massive portfolios.
I love it. Background in finance along with the capabilities that you have from a programming perspective. Look, so you've clearly killed it in the Web 2 game. You know, you've demonstrated that you're an absolute gangster in that realm. But what made you pivot to crypto? I mean, this is such a it seems to be, you know, the new age technology, but I guess maybe you like to be at the forefront of these things like you were at the iPhone. What sparked that change from Web 2 to crypto? And then maybe tell us a little bit about winning the Solana hackathon.
Yeah, for sure. So I love technology. Like I'm just happy I can get paid working with technology. Otherwise I would be a monk back in the days describing, the old Testament. I love technology and I love all types of technology. So finance uses a lot of technology. So does obviously like video streaming, but then so does crypto. And so I was really interested in the promise of when Ethereum first came out, it first was pitched as it's the world's computer. And that was very interesting to me. It's like, how are you going to do this, right? Like, how does that work? And it turns out smart contracts are pieces of programming. So I went off and learned Solidity, which is not a very fun language to learn. Very different. However, I got to learn how these things worked. Then I also was learning about this new technology called Solana, like right when it first began. They were using a different language, which was a little bit more familiar to me. And so I went to, I think 10 Solana hack houses, they call them, in total. It was Seattle, Los Angeles, Austin, all these different places that they were having these hack houses. I got really familiar with the teams that were in the ecosystem, and it was fascinating. I really loved what they were doing. And so one time, one of the folks from the foundation actually reached out and said, "Hey Frank, we're having like this really kind of like crazy like hackathon." And I said, "Okay, sure. Like, it sounds interesting." He's like, "No, but it's really kind of strange." I was like, "Okay." The premise of the hackathon is we were physically going to be isolated in a hackathon for a month and a half. And so what they actually did was they rented out Paris Hilton's old mansion in Beverly Hills. And we were all hacking on Solana projects the entire time, like living, like breathing, eating everything there. And it was just very fascinating, right? Because most hackathons are kind of like, you know, weekend type of events and that sort of thing. We were like basically locked in working on this for a month and a half. And, you know, there were some people that had some interesting projects. Some people were doing some decentralized finance stuff. And I was working more on using some of like the video stuff that we were talking about before, and was able to actually embed an entire full 4K film inside an NFT. So you can like literally watch a full film inside of an NFT and unlock it that way. So it seems different, but it's like applying technology in different manners. And that's really kind of what's very, very fascinating to me about blockchain and about like my previous experience and now to AI.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I mean, back then you wanted the Solana hackathon with 2022. NFTs were hot back then, right? So I like how you're always like working in the hottest sector of crypto, which for us, I mean, you know, AI is going to change everything. And the fact that, you know, you've proven your skills in the Solana hackathon, you've proven your skills in, you know, Web2, enterprise, finance, video streaming, Disney, everything, right? So when you look at Workloop, I think it makes a lot of sense. It looks like it's a project that is built for corporate and enterprise adoption. So what did you do differently when building Workloop as opposed to, you know, when you were building, for example, that NFT thing? That's more, you know, a consumer, a retail thing. But Workloop for me looks like enterprise adoption. So what did you do building it differently specifically for this purpose?
Yeah, so I view enterprise as a normal user with special needs, right? And so the special needs are, it needs to have somebody that can be an administrator that can give people access to certain files and certain access. It also needs like, you need to be able to invite a team. So little small things like that are more based on around the security of it. most consumer products can be enterprise products if they had that, actually. So I kind of see it as like, okay, it has like a little bit of special needs, but the core thing is help you actually get some work done, right? So if you think about most people that work in corporate jobs, you know the drill. You wake up in the morning, you get ready for usually morning calls, you go throughout the day, there's more calls, you get some work done, and there's still more calls, right? So it's a lot of, you spend a lot of time in meetings in the corporate world. And so how do you make those meetings more efficient? How can you actually eliminate some meetings, right? So being able to ping somebody on Slack and say, hey guys, can we just like share a document or something about what we need to have instead of having this meeting? And that's not easy to do if people aren't in sync, right? If they're not sharing the same information. So a lot of meetings are just like communication issues, to be honest. If you think about most meetings, they're not super productive. Like no one's like, you know, curing like cancer or anything on there. It's usually pretty benign stuff, and it's repetitious, and people don't remember what happened in the previous meeting. So imagine if you had a way to track those meetings, to have perfect recollection of what needs to happen, and then you get like a list out of it of things that need to get done by the next time, right? So it would make meetings more efficient, and more people will be able to execute. And that's exactly what you're going to be able to do with Workloop, right? So it's going to be kind of embedded inside of your organization to help you get your job done.
Okay, help us understand why businesses will love this. Let's say I'm new to Workloop. You know, I'm a first-time user. Give us one simple real-world use case for this.
Perfect example. Back to meetings, right? So let's say I had a meeting scheduled 2 weeks ago. It's with people that are in different parts of the organization, so we don't communicate as often. What if what actually we needed to communicate is stale information? This happens all the time, by the way. And so you had a 30-minute meeting that had 20 people in it. 20 people's times by half an hour is a significant amount of money, right? So instead of having that meeting, what if you could communicate what needs to be happened in the meeting and possibly either push the meeting off or have a shortened version of the meeting with a really concise agenda, right? Instead of wasting everybody's time. So we're talking about millions of dollars every single day, and most organizations get wasted on meetings. And so if you had a way to do that, companies will pay anything for that, right? Mm-hmm. So that's one example. Another really important example is we are working with, you know, a little alpha here. We're working with an enterprise client that is in healthcare, right? So this person and their team is in charge of sales for that healthcare organization. What do you think that person's main job is, right? They're a salesperson. It says it in their job description. They need to sell to more clients. So how do you do that, right? The ordinary process is going and sales prospecting and finding people that are potential people you can speak with, go to conferences and that sort of thing. But what if you can go off and find inside of your LinkedIn Navigator all of the people that are potential customers within a 200-mile radius that have over 500 people in the organization so you can sell your services to them? And what if you can send out initial emails to start gauging interest of people in that space? And what if you could do that all automated so that your inbox is full of people that are booking calendar appointments so that you can actually speak with them and close sales? That's worth everything. So if you can help salespeople in an organization close more deals, that has a definite price tag attached to it, and it's millions of dollars. So anything they can do to help their productivity, anything they could do to not be on four different tabs and CRM when they're on the go, they need to be selling. They don't need to be filling out forms. And that's really two good examples of why a company, this will be the lifeblood of companies. And I'm really firmly believing that.
I come from a sales background, and that is the lifeblood of organizations, is the sales force. And I remember how long it took me to do my prospecting, identifying the clients, putting them onto Salesforce, that entire process for what you just mentioned there would take me 2-3 weeks just to identify that many
weeks.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now I can just I can type into work loop. It'll be done in 2 minutes.
Exactly. And so it's not, just a real cautionary tale, right? So some information just came out about MIT saying that 95% of all deployments of AI are ineffectual. I think there's a very specific reason why. It's because people are making AI do things that it's not supposed to do, right? So it's that process that's very well defined that I just talked to you about. It's a small workflow that has big impact. People are trying to do it the opposite way. They're trying to make a workflow that's this big with 50 people designed by committee to do any and all things. Mm. It's not supposed to be that. It's supposed to be small things that it can start helping with. As the technology gets better, then it gets better. I'm not sitting here promising the moon and the stars, but if you are a salesperson and that process is for you, it's worth a lot of money to a company. And so that's where we're at. I don't subscribe to like AI is going to take your jobs. However, somebody who knows how to use this process is going to be a lot more efficient than you are. And so when it's time to start looking around to see who might not be around, I don't think the person who's delivering the most is going to be in that chopping block. So I firmly believe that. It's similar to people who resisted using spreadsheets, or people who resisted like, oh no, my typewriter is amazing, I'm not going to use a computer. It's the same vibe. Mm-hmm. I think people need to understand it's not going to replace you. You need to upskill though. Yeah. Learn the skills. You know, again, we're going to be part of that forefront. Most of what I'm doing right now is when I'm talking to enterprises, all education. It's telling them like what's fluff and what's not. And so that's really kind of where we're at now. It's educating and showing people what to do so that they trust you. So like, hey, you know what, Frank, let's go with your solution in a small scale to test it out and see what happens. And we're getting results.
Yeah, I mean, it's super exciting. That's why we framed this episode as we finally found a crypto project that can actually see mass adoption. You know, your example from meetings. Every single company, corporation, enterprise in the world has thousands and millions of meetings. So there's a clear use case. And then sales teams. Every single company has sales teams. We can easily see how Workloop is going to save businesses millions, if not billions of dollars every year and generate money for Workloop. That's why we see, okay, look, mass adoption. But when you're talking about a crypto project truly seeing mass adoption, what we've always seen in the past is a barrier. You know, crypto, because it is new and exciting and, you know, it is seen by many as risky, enterprises and corporations are always, you know, hesitant to truly adopt crypto software because, you know, a lot of these companies, they say you have to buy the token to use the software, or you have to stake the token. Like, these enterprises are not buying tokens and staking tokens to use software. That's why we like the value proposition of Workloop. So from your angle, why did you think it was so important, and especially given your experience with enterprise and corporate clients, that it was important to separate the crypto side of things, because Workloop obviously has the Loop token, and the Web2 side of things, which is the software?
Yeah, no, it's a valid question. It's the same reason why most enterprises don't care if a startup is VC-backed or whatever, right? It's more like delivering the value side. And so for them, they have like a corporate Amex that they pay things with. They're not to the point yet where they're, you know, as you said, staking or doing things like that on the crypto side. I wish it were, trust me. I think it's a fascinating thing. And then you have trailblazers like Visa and these guys that are trying to make payments on crypto rails. They're, you know, using some very interesting technology. But that's not most enterprises, right? Most enterprises are very very old school, right? They have an accounts payable, accounts receivable department, and that's how you get paid. And so if you can kind of get into that world and extract value from the Web2 side and then bring it over to the crypto side seamlessly without people having to think about it, we're going to be able to get these corporate people to kind of use a version of crypto. And this is the most interesting part. Every single client that creates an account on Workloop is actually creating an Ethereum wallet. They don't realize that, but that's what they're doing. And so the idea that corporations aren't using crypto is not correct. It's they need to be you need to do it in a way that they understand. And if you can do it in a way they understand, they'll adopt it in like bits and pieces. That's not a problem. But again, this project doesn't depend on them knowing, and it also doesn't depend on fully only Web3, right? Because if only crypto people know how to use it, that's a small sliver of the entire world's population, right? We want to expand it to benefit the population, and we want the token holders to make, you know, fat bags, obviously. But it's in a way that's done that's not dependent on the crypto itself, because God forbid we have a crypto winter. Do you think a large enterprise even cares or even knows what that means? They don't care, right? So what's going to ride the wave, right? It's the people that have external ways of creating revenue. So all that fiat will just keep accumulating into the token, and that's going to help us ride out. At least that's what I think.
All right, let's talk about these fat bags. What is the token utility of Loop, and why should someone hold it?
Sure. So the token utility of Loop is you're basically working with us so that you can take part of the growth. So the thing you see all the time, some random startup is like, hey, we just raised like millions of dollars. And you're like, okay, great. What's my benefit as a user or someone that told somebody about it? You get nothing. You get zero, right? So they don't care about the community or anything like that, right? So the problem with that kind of thing is I want to make it so that people can grow with us. I want the utility of the token to be, once we get to a certain point on the fiat side, we want to reward the people that are there with us, right? Again, we don't have it fully nailed down yet, to be blunt. We're trying to figure it out, but we want that kind of growth to be part of it as well. Believe me, I could have done this the traditional VC route, but you know what happens in the traditional VC route? The deep, dark underbelly of that is they own you. They own everything that you do. They tell you, hey, listen, you just raised $1 million. Awesome. I need you to spend that $1 million so I can give you $1 million more. Oh, and then your equity goes down. But I've seen founders get to the point where they own less than 1% of their company, but they're doing 100% of the work. So I don't really want to be working for some VC guy. I want to work with a community of people that's going to help prop this up, talk about this, and actually participate in the rewards. That's my ultimate actual vision is this thing gets to be so freaking big that some huge company actually gets to the point where they want to acquire this. And I want to drop the biggest dimmy in crypto of all time and just go out like a G. That's it. That's all I want.
I like
right?
it.
I don't have that much overhead. It's like I live a pretty like standard, simple life. I'm not like balling hard. I don't have a Lambo, right? I don't need one. I don't even own a car. I just literally only have Ubers. And so I don't need that. Like I'm like I'm a little bit like Vitalik. It's like pretty simple, you know. It's like and so my whole thing is I want to grow, and I want other people to grow with me. And so we're gonna have multiple ways that people can participate. Listen, if you don't have access to crypto, awesome. We're going to have an affiliate thing. So if you promote this to your friends and get people to sign up, you're going to get rewarded. Like we're all for the people, man. It's like we don't need a huge slice. That's the problem. Anybody who raises VC monies, you have a bunch of folks that are much older that don't even understand technology telling you to raise prices. That's the first thing that happens after somebody raises money. It's like, hey, we raise $1 billion. OpenAI. It's like, oh great, now it costs more. Mm-hmm. That's all that happens.
Yeah.
So it's like, what if we can keep that in the community? We have a bunch of people that are excited about this, and the utility grows because we're participating in the utility.
Yeah, no, I think it makes a lot of sense. That's why we like you, we like the project, because you're doing things differently. And it's refreshing to see, and that's probably why the launch went so well, is because this isn't your average project with VCs and pre-sailers and people that are dumping. This is a project built by, you know, with the community in mind, with a long-term vision. And again, we like the way that you're doing things differently, because what we've seen, you know, the AI industry has come a long way since the launch of ChatGPT in 2022. The crypto AI industry has come a long way since the early days, you know, it was Fetch AI and that kind of stuff. So I want your opinion. Why is the timing perfect? Why is the timing now for you and Workloop to kind of lead this next generation of AI apps, both in Web2 and also this next generation of crypto AI apps?
Yeah, no, I love exactly where you guys are going with this. So we want to build in some features inside of Workloop that's actually really crypto friendly. So we want to use AI to, you know, to check your wallet, right? To check to see like what's going on, what small market caps can I buy? So we want to add those kind of things. The reality is AI wasn't yet to the point where you can actually build things on top of it. So AI has three different tiers, and I'll explain it to you very, very simply. There's the initial tier, that's infrastructure, that's NVIDIA. They take most of the pie. Then there's a smaller tier above it, inference. So it's all the guys that make the LLMs, like OpenAI, Claude, those kind of guys. And then we sit up here in the top tier, the application layer. So we are the Ubers, right? The Instagrams. We are the application on top of AI. And it's only been until very, very recently that the tools have been available through the OpenAI and Claude. It's gelled to the point now that you can build a solid application on top of it. I mean, huge shout out to guys like Lovable that are like creating web pages and, you know, things like that to help the average person create a web page. I think we're going to get to the point where, okay, now there's that. We're seeing that work. Now here's another thing. But the thing that for me is the most important is there's nothing for the enterprise side. There's nothing kind of, because it's like seen as like some sleepy backwater. But in reality, it's like these guys are paying ridiculous amounts of cash for things that it's not really that high tech. And so I see it as helping them will kind of filter down to the average person. So, you know, again, I think we're getting some really crazy feedback from people. Again, we have a lot of people on our wait list. And what we're noticing is something interesting. The enterprise features are fantastic. There are some people, but there's a little bit of demand also on the consumer side. And so we're kind of looking at possibly exploring that side as well, because if we can deliver value to an enterprise that has huge demands, if we can create a little light version of what we're trying to do, that might actually work with the average person. And it's like, hey, if it's useful for you, it's useful for many other people. So I think we're going to start leaning that on that side a little bit, because again, enterprise sales, I don't know if any of you guys have ever experienced it, but it is months and months and months, contracts, attorneys, mm-hmm. like back and forth, yeah. Right? So we want to deliver value to the community more, like quicker than a couple of months. So that's all I'm going to say for now.
No, honestly, I thought the same thing, because, you know, when I learned about Workloop, obviously enterprise adoption corporations, it makes complete sense. But when I started watching the demos and seeing what it could do, and, you know, I'm like, I want Workloop. You know what I mean? Like the fact that it's integrated with Twitter, Spotify, Gmail, calendar. I'm like, this is what I do every day. I want Workloop so I can do less work. I want Workloop to do all my work for me. So it makes, to me, it's a perfect integration for the retail consumer side. So I think you guys are able to hit the nail on the head, both with enterprise corporate adoption and also, as you kind of put, you know, alluded to, consumer adoption as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you see AI replacing jobs, or is it just going to be more like a going hand in hand with, you know, the everyday person at work?
Yeah. So I think all that gloom and doom stuff is BS. I don't buy it for a second, because the people that are telling you that are the people who have a vested interest to lay people off, right? So great example, Meta was trying to give people $100 million, like, you know, they're NFL athletes, right? But guess what? There's cracks in the system. There's already been three people that have left Meta and gone back to their original jobs, right? So it's the gloom and doom that people are talking about. Yeah, we're going to replace everything. Are you though? I work with it every single day. It's not replacing that much. Like, it does a good amount of things that are, again, like, you have to temper like what you think it could do. And if you have specific things and you know exactly to tell it what to do, it's going to work for you. But replacing entire things, I don't think that's true. I think that's all just BS for some CEOs that hired too many people a couple years ago, right? It's not going to replace everyone. I think that's BS. And you know, Meta is the perfect example. It's like, they're like, well, you know, it's going to replace our code. I was like, I want to see what happens to that code. Like, we'll see what happens to Meta soon, because if they're fully dependent on it, they're going to have a bad time.
Fair enough. Well, seeing as we are looking into the future right now, one final question. What, in terms of like catalysts and the roadmap for Workloop, can the Workloop holders and prospective Workloop holders look forward to for the future?
Yes, I think so. I hinted a little bit earlier. I think we're going to get a little bit heavier into a little bit more of the consumer side, because I think we're seeing some wins there that could definitely benefit the holders. And, you know, again, we didn't want to make it a waitlist only thing. It was because it's enterprise, right? And so people that are on the enterprise side, they really need a lot of handholding, and you need to really have conversations, and the contracts take a long time. However, if we can distill Workloop into kind of a lighter kind of feature, I think it'll be more available to more people. And so that's a big steamy right there, because we're going to go for, you know, we're going to go for a million users. I don't care. Like, there's nothing that's going to stop us. Again, if you have a million users on an app that's AI based, you're like in the top tier, right? And so it'll start attracting a lot of attention. And like I said, it's only for the holders. So if you're a holder, there's a bright future. And again, I'm not going anywhere. I'm doing live streams. I'm working in the community. I'm answering Discord. I'm like fighting with people on X, talking all this smack about like Workloop. Like, I'm in there. You know what I mean? I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah, we like to see it.
Absolutely. That's awesome, Frank. Look, that's why we're such proud supporters of Workloop. We believe in the vision. We believe in what you're doing. We're going to be here to continuously support what it is that's being built here. We see a bright future for it. So thank you for coming on to the Beanpod today.
Absolutely.
100%. So, hey, look, if there's any questions about Workloop that you guys have, drop it in the comments. Make sure to like, subscribe. We're always going to be keeping you guys up to date with anything Workloop.
Hey, make sure you guys tune into the next episode.
That one is going to be a banger.